luggage. We find deep meaning in the act of serving. We've been devising ways to take care of each other and celebrating the results since the human story was first documented. Developmental psychologists tell us that a willingness to help strangers is a trait that most people exhibit at as young an age as 18 months. It's an almost universal impulse to serve, one that can get crowded out by other instincts, certainly, but if you peel back the layers of what motivates us, more often than not, you'll find a very core ambition to be useful to others. And yet, good service is still, for the most part, rare. In our experience as economic actors in industry across industry, we're increasingly frustrated and disappointed. Customers, employees, owners, no one wants to deliver bad service, and no one wants to endure it. But that's the experience we continue to inflict on each other. Why is that? This is the question that animates this book. Why is service so hard to get right, despite the fact that we're wired for it? How can we channel the human impulse to serve into greater productivity, greater returns, and greater satisfaction all around? Here's what we've learned. Uncommon service is not born from attitude and effort, but from design choices made in the very blueprints of a business model. It's easy to throw service into a mission statement and periodically do whatever it takes to make a customer happy. What's hard is designing a service model that allows average employees, not just the exceptional ones, to produce service excellence as an everyday routine. Outstanding service organizations create offerings, funding strategies, systems, and cultures that set their people up to excel casually. In this book, we try to show you how to do the same thing, how to deliver uncommon service by design. Building any dynamic system means considering inputs and outputs, actions and reactions, and many of the concepts here are rooted in basic engineering principles. But psychology is where we find some of the largest obstacles to excellence. These take the form of denying reality and resisting trade-offs, points that may seem counterintuitive, or at least counter-comfortable. If you walked out on the street today and randomly asked someone to talk about a recent service experience, good or bad, chances are the person would recount a story of deep disappointment. We know this because we've personally developed a bad habit of invading strangers' personal space with questions like these. That story would probably involve a call center because, as we'll explain, call centers are designed to be reliably bad. But the story might just as easily be about wandering through department store aisles, looking for a clerk to ring up an $8 pair of socks, or waiting for a shipment of parts that came in hopelessly late and hopelessly incomplete, or going through endless cycles with a voice recognition unit for what you don't want, push or say for, trying every numerical option in the hope of getting through to some sympathetic soul who has an incentive to care that your son's talking Elmo won't say a word. And yet, we should be living through the century of service. So, what's going on? Be the anti-hero. Our message begins simply enough. You can't be good at everything. In services, trying to do it all brilliantly will lead almost inevitably to mediocrity. Excellence requires sacrifice. To deliver great service on the dimensions that your customers value most, you must underperform on dimensions they value less. This means you must have the stomach to do some things badly. The concept can seem immoral at first blush. We recently did some work with a major healthcare provider. The CEO wasn't able to join us until the last couple of days. When he arrived, we reviewed what we'd covered, including the link between underperformance and excellence. The CEO immediately pushed back, saying, "I don't see anything we could afford to be bad at." He continued, revealing that he saw the idea of